It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Good afternoon, Lakeshore listeners. Thanks for joining us here on 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio. And for the next hour, you'll be listening to Let's Eat. My name's Chef Nick, owner-operator of Chef Nick's Eatery in Winfield. And my good buddy over here in the captain's chair is Sharon Jackson.
Hello, hello.
How you doing, Sharon?
I'm good. It's Friday.
You know, people
That's a
don't
nice thing.
You know what people don't realize? We do this food show and we bring all these great guys, like we got Nick from Dickie's Dogs here today. And they don't realize that you grew up in the restaurant business.
I did. I love it.
Yeah, and tell us a little bit like what your parents did and stuff.
Oh, my parents, my dad built the building on the front of our house. He tore off the front porch of our house one day with his digging machine, his tractor, and built this building and opened it in 1971. It was called Willow Queen Drive-In, and it was open through the 90s. It was an iconic place in Willow Springs. And
what kind of menu did they have?
It was hot dogs, hamburgers, beef sandwiches.
Perfect, right, Nick? Perfect.
It was chili. Yeah, chili. soups. My mom made homemade soups, pork tenderloin, fries, of course, corn dogs. We had, pizzas, ice cream shakes, all that. And, old pictures. It looked like a
So the restaurant was in front of your house.
Yes.
So when
it
you
was
woke
attached
up,
to the house.
So when you woke up, you went right into the kitchen of the restaurant and made something.
You could. Well, yeah, you had to walk out of the house,
okay,
over the deck, and go into the back of the restaurant. The front yard, which was all grass, big front yard, became the parking lot. It was on four lots of commercial property, this house.
That is so cool.
Yeah, the taxes are awesome. So high now on that house.
Oh,
but
my gosh, yes.
Yeah, but it was cool. It was good. It was like some of the best times of my life.
Yeah, there's something that no one knew about you.
No one did know
Now
that.
They all know
yeah,
that
know.
You're actually a restaurateur.
Yeah. And, I feel bad. I probably should have taken more of an interest in it when I was a kid.
Yeah, but you kept listening to the radio.
I just went down the dark path.
You went down the light path. Right, Nick?
Yeah.
It sounds like you guys definitely have more fun, though. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's all the same. I mean, we have
It's a different fun,
fully.
But
it's
you know what?
Fun.
It's fun, but the next day it's all restart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's only as, fun goes only so far in a day. You can't let it, consume everything.
I know, right?
We're going to go to Dickie's Dogs today.
We are going to go to Dickie's
and how, you know
Dogs.
What? And Dickie's Dogs got two locations now.
Yeah.
They got one in Lowe, and they got a brand new one in Valparaiso on US 30.
We're going to walk out to our race car.
We're going to go. Can we get to take the US 30
Let's
drag strip? Remember
it.
That, Tom? UX 30 drag strip where the great ones run. Right? Is that what they say? Run.
Good times.
Yeah. And what are we driving? We're driving the Bugatti. Tom, you got to get in the Bugatti.
Yeah.
Ready? You got it?
On my side.
You good. You're driving, Sharon. You go.
Let's go.
Don't grind any gears because it's expensive. There you go. Okay. There we go. We're going right down US 30. We've already passed the Walgreens complex over there. We're going all the way down, and there's the Strack and Van Tails, and we're there.
Boom.
Bam. See how fast the Bugatti goes, Nick?
It's just that fast.
It's, when I get on your level, Nick, I think that's my next car.
So you didn't see my Kia out there that I was driving in. So today, folks, here on Let's Eat, we got Nick.
An absolutely flawless classic.
Yeah. We got Nick from Dickie's Dogs. Nick's been on before, but Nick started a brand new place over there in Valparaiso on US 30. On the corner of Route 2 and US 30, right, Nick?
Yep, right there on the corner, right off of Morthland Drive, kind of like the feeder road right there. It's a strip center. We got the end unit. I like to explain it as we're across the street from the Speedway right there with that White Castle. So
right. That's a good good landmark.
Yep.
And you know what? They just kind of redid all that, the roads there, and opened it up a little bit. I don't know how that's helped you or
still,
not.
Nope, it's still going on. They decided to rip it up again this year. It looks like they're resurfacing it. So I think we're on year three in a row because a couple years ago they did the new median on 30 and made that look pretty. Last year they had Route 2 all torn up. The owners of the strip center, Garrett Construction, did a phenomenal job with the building. They went and did a full facade improvement, repainted the roof. It looks beautiful out there. And right now it looks like they're doing the last phase of the resurfacing of Route 30. So I hope and pray that ends sooner rather than later because mm-hmm. it's a nightmare down there. But you know what?
It's a busy intersection, though.
Exactly.
And I report on that every day, and it's always slow around there.
Slow? That's
like the traffic?
Yeah, no, that's being nice.
That's being nice.
Yeah, it's a standstill. I mean, I'm coming from Lowell every day, so I kind of jockey through, you know, the back roads up Route 2. Every once in a while, I'll take 65, and, I mean, there's times that it's 40 minutes from the time I start construction to get to the restaurant. It's fun. Yeah. It's fun.
It's real fun.
Yeah.
Well, it's busy, but once it gets all cleared up and everything, it's going to be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It'll be real nice.
Yeah.
So, Nick, you got the two units.
Yes, sir.
How does that feel? It makes you feel like you got like four units. You know, like when you have one kid, it's like one kid. When you have two kids, it's like three. So
yeah.
If you have three, it's like 10.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that. Right now, my neighbors are out of town and we got their little ones with us. So I got four and I feel like I got 20 every night. So
yeah.
It's interesting. But no, it's good. It's good. If I would have been sitting here last year and we would have been having this conversation, you would have said, hey, buddy, a year from now, you're going to be sitting on two restaurants. I would ask what you were drinking or what you were smoking, and I wanted to join in. We're very blessed to be where we're at right now. If it wasn't for the hard work and dedication of my wife, mm-hmm. And always looking at me when I have my crazy ideas and smiling and saying, I got your back, honey, we wouldn't be here. You know, I got a phone call from one of my employees, actually, that they found out Jordy and Jax had decided to go back to their Roselawn area.
Okay.
So that was the old tenants of our building. So... before the unit was even put up, I went on Google Maps and pulled up an old aerial of the building to show who the tenant phone number was. And I just randomly called, and it wasn't the right person, but they're like, hey, you know, we sold it. I can get you in touch with them. Mm-hmm. And 2.5 months later, we signed the lease and did our minimal build out. It was nice. It wasn't an undertaking like Lowell where it was a full restaurant build out. Everything mm-hmm. was already there. We added some new sinks, of course, all new cooking equipment because you know how that equipment goes. Double door freezers and opened my doors. So it's been a wild ride.
So how long you've been doing this? And give us a little background about yourself.
So my wife and I have been in and out of the restaurant industry since our first jobs out of high school, college type thing.
Where'd you go to high school at?
So I'm from south suburb of Chicago. I went to Providence Catholic High School.
Okay.
So I'm working at a bar in Palos Heights, bussing tables. Once I got of age, I was bartending and stuff through college. My wife was a waitress at Giordano's.
Okay.
Started as a hostess and then went to a waitress at the one in Orland. She traveled down to Florida with the owner at the time, opened up a store with him down there. So she had been waitressing, managing restaurants. And it was a couple years ago, we were approached by a family friend about joining in, being partners in a restaurant. We owned a location on the south side of Chicago. Earlier last year, we decided to sell that partnership. Hour and 25-minute drive was...
Texting. Oh, so you were here and you were going there.
Yeah, correct. Wow. Yeah, we were down in Lowell. So it was about an hour, 25, hour, 30.
Sharon feels your pain. She drives from Brookfield over here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was driving from Lowell, Indiana to 115th and Western Avenue.
Yeah.
Oh,
Morgan
I know.
Park.
Yeah, yeah.
So we
in
got
where? Morgan Park?
Yeah, the Morgan Park neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we got rid of that, and we decided to take those funds, and I didn't want to go back to corporate America like I was in before. And we opened up Dickie's Dogs. The doors opened in May of last year, so we're just about 14 months in, and here we are with number two.
Number two.
Yeah.
So the new place, is the decor different than the old place?
Nope.
It's all set up the same?
Yeah, same color scheme. A little different stuff just because we didn't cut any corner doing Lowell. That was our baby. That's mm-hmm. always going to be our number one.
So that's going to be the flagship, right?
That will always be that will always be our store. So, you know, there were certain things there looking back in hindsight I wouldn't do again because mm-hmm. it's not a money-generating thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to put certain high-end tile on the front counter to, you know, you can get away with some cheaper stuff. So some of that stuff we looked at changing up a bit, but as for the decor, it's still the rustic mm-hmm. The rustic look. We went with that Japanese bamboo technique where they burn the wood.
Mm-hmm.
One night I was there really late with my contractor, and there was a torch there from doing some plumbing work, and we were doing butcher block counters, so him and I just started burning the counter.
Really?
It's like, wow, that looks awesome. So we did little stuff like that, but Vienna posters all over. They're going to be going up here shortly, so, you know, just the same feel. We want people to be able to have that, you know, mom and pop feel that my wife and I try to put out there for everyone.
And now the seating difference, is it about the same amount of seating?
Oh, no, much larger. So
is it?
Yeah, I have... about 1,600 square feet in Lowell, about 50-50 between kitchen, restaurant. So I think we have like 35, 38 seats. In Valparaiso, we got just shy of 3,000 square feet.
Wow.
Much larger kitchen, which is nice because, like you and I were talking off the air before.
That is a nice kitchen. I've been in it.
Yeah. Caterings. You got more room to be able to do the caterings, the food trucks, the special events.
Plus, you have a carryout.
Yep. Yep. And then once all is said and done, once tables get here and the whole pandemic's over and, you know, this is all it has been to us, we'll probably be around 50 to 55 people in there.
Well, that's a pretty good size, yeah. Especially for a sandwich shop.
Yeah, and it's going to be nice. It's we got the drive-thru hopefully going in the next week or two, finalizing all the details with that so we could start utilizing the drive-thru. One of my biggest things is I like to step into things. Mm-hmm. I don't want to rip off the Band-Aid and open up the floodgates because, Nick, you know what it's like. When you first open that restaurant, you even do as well, you know, being in the industry, you know, in your early days, you're always going to have growing pains.
Right.
You can have your staff train at your current restaurant for 5 years. Bring them over. That's what we did. I mean, I brought one of my number one crews from Lowell, split them up, ended up creating two crews. One stayed in Lowell, one came out to Valpo. And you still have some of those growing pains because it's the customers not understanding your thing. Everyone thinks fast food is like McDonald's. We pre-cook everything, you're in and out in 3 minutes. Right. And it's not. You know, we cook everything fresh. That's how you and I are. We don't, you know, I'm not going to pre-cook 100 chicken sandwiches, and at the end of the day, you're getting one that was cooked at 8 o'clock this morning.
You know, right. Real quick, folks, he was talking about cooking things fresh. And if you want to taste some of the food from Dickie's Dogs in Valparaiso or in Lowe, Nick brought some gift cards. So all we need you to do is dial in 769-9577. That's 769-9577. And Nick from Dickie's Dogs out of Valparaiso and Lowe will send you the gift card to him.
So do you find that the mom-and-pop vibe and the actual mom-and-pop thing that you put out there, is that what keeps people coming? Because that's what attracts me to a place. I'd rather go to a mom-and-pop first before a corporate place.
I think
like
so.
A big chain.
And I feel like it gives me a little more leniency. You know, I'll be the first to admit, my crew's not perfect. I'm not perfect. Our staff, we have issues, you know. And we take those comments that we see on social media to heart. When I see someone displeased with my service, regardless if it's an exaggeration, if it's truth, whatever the case may be, it upsets me. Because my customers are what allow me to provide food for my family, put a jersey on my daughter's back, things like that, put her through her education. So that they mean a lot to me. And I feel like being a mom and pop shop, someone might come in and have a bad experience and say, you know what? I get it. They're new. Whatever the case may be, I'll give them another shot. Where if I was a McDonald's, if I was a Culver's or whatever the case may be, they come in, one bad experience, they're done. Which, in a way, it kind of should be that way because they're corporate chained by Fortune 500 multi-billion-dollar organizations.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. To work,
they have a lot of energy to pump into those places.
Exactly. I mean, for McDonald's, I have family down in the Alabama area that owns some McDonald's. They have to go to Hamburger U. The managers and general managers, they have to graduate from Hamburger U out of the city of Chicago. Used to be out of Oak Brook,
right?
You know what I mean. So there's a lot more training that goes into that. With us, I'm hiring, you know, the high schools. Girls and guys to work up front.
And you know, the high school girls and guys, they only last so long.
Exactly. Exactly. So, it's very high turnover.
You're very lucky to have one or two. Well, yourself is one of the cornerstones.
Correct.
Your wife is the other one, just like my wife is my cornerstone.
Yep.
And then you got maybe you got one more guy.
Yeah. You know, you're lucky.
If you're lucky. And the rest is pretty much kids going in and out. And
they're not dedicated as much?
Yeah. Not dedicated.
No, not as much. And we, Nick and I, and all mom and pop, we're fighting an uphill battle because we're not McDonald's, where I can't bring on a general manager and pay them $15, $18 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford to bring on a line lead and pay them $18 an hour.
And plus, you look at the big corporations, they got the money for the advertisement on TV.
Yeah.
And really, I look at the app, and it makes me laugh every time because whatever they're showing you on TV or on their menu boards or whatever is not what you're getting. It's just two different worlds. It's like, but when you go in there and eat, you're ordering a burger, but your mind somehow is remembering what you've seen on TV. So you think that's what you're getting.
Top of the mind awareness from repetition. Yep.
But really what you're getting is not the same. And people don't break it down. You're thinking, oh,
it doesn't even look the same.
Right.
No.
And you're thinking it's, oh, you know, it's cheap and this and that. But if you really break it down ounce by ounce, apples for apples, we're probably cheaper or the same. But a whole different quality.
Oh,
a whole
sure.
different process.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, and that's one of our biggest things is, you know, and it's funny that you bring that up. My wife, in her spare time, the little that she has, she does own a food marketing agency. And before we kind of ramped up Dickie's last year when we were building it out, I was part of some of her photo shoots and stuff. And it's actually really cool to see. But that was one of our biggest things is we did a full photo shoot prior to opening our doors to have that marketing material. Mm-hmm. So we try to pride ourselves to be able to provide that marketing material so people know what they're getting type thing. And yeah, like you said,
when you do it yourself, because we take pictures like our carry out window, because we have a drive up window. But, like, again, we make everything from scratch. You can't just say, hey, Nick, I want a chicken Asiago, and it's going to be ready when you get there. Correct. It takes some time.
Yep.
So the pictures we put up there are the ones I made. And you know what? All the time when I send things out, I always think, does it look like that picture? Because it's got to look like that picture.
It has to. Consistency is key in our industry.
Because that's what it is. I said it on the last show, too. I've had general managers tell me, if you're going to make something terrible or bad, or just be consistent about it, because people get used to it and they'll become your market.
Exactly.
You're gonna be good, you could be good about it.
Yeah.
So people, we want you to call in 769-9577 769-9577 and give Nick a question about hot dogs or sandwiches or some
national
of the wraps
hot dog day that we just had 2 days ago.
Yeah, national
yeah, two days ago.
You know what,
what was that like for you guys?
Does that give you a
crazy
bump? That does get
yeah,
him, Bob?
Yeah, it does. But we offer a discounted product for Hot Dog Day. Yeah.
So you work with it.
Correct. Yeah, for sure. But we make some adjustments. And, yeah, it gives the people an opportunity to come out and try our food that might have been hesitant in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's discounted. It's cheaper. You know, we give it at a very, very good value. We work with Vienna, or obviously Vienna Beef, our supplier.
I love Vienna Beef hot dogs. Mm-hmm. It's my
the only way
one.
I can't. I was in New York last year, 2 years ago, for work with my wife before we opened, and I tried, you know.
The Nathan's?
Yeah, and I was like, what am I eating? Like, no offense to people who love those kind of hot dogs. That's just not for me.
Right, sure.
I'm a beef kind of guy.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the virus, the pandemic.
Yes,
and
sir.
I had you on for a special a few months ago. So
we actually broke the news about Valpo live on your show.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. How did you react when that all happened?
Scared.
Uh-huh.
You know, you know exactly what it's like.
I was kicking people out of the restaurant.
Yeah. It was a scary time because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to be like some of the other restaurants that are unfortunate that weren't able to open, or if you're going to be one of the outliers. And luckily, by the grace of God, and, you know, I say my prayers every night that we were one of the outliers. My wife and I sat down and put kind of a plan in place to work with our employees to not have to try and have them feel the effects. Obviously, we're the first ones to always take the hit on everything, being the owners. But we did everything we can. Where we were very, very lucky is we built our restaurant on a three-prong approach. Dine-in, takeout, and delivery. So when this all started, I just turned off one switch. Mm-hmm. I still had two switches running. Prior to the pandemic, we were at about a 65-35 split. Dine-in, obviously 65-35, takeout/delivery. So, I mean, we did take a hit, but it wasn't like some of these other restaurants that were strictly dine-in restaurants that are like, oh, no, how do I do delivery? How do I do takeout? Because, you know, people sitting back that aren't in the industry think it's like, well, it's just easy. Pick up the phone, make their order, and there's so much logistics that go into to make sure the food, you're timing it correctly when someone calls in so their food's not waiting, it's not cold, they're getting a good product, it looks like the picture. There's a lot that goes into it. We were very, very, very lucky.
Yeah, because some of the larger franchises, believe it or not, I worked for them, you know, where they didn't even know how to deal with a carryout. You know, when it comes to carryouts, they don't even think. Yeah, the waitress might give you a container at the end.
Yeah.
But to actually do an order,
correct,
and it's all about making it right for the carryout, they had a lag time. I mean, all
there's
the big
a big learning curve.
There was a big learning curve. And, you know, at the beginning, did you have a carryout window there?
We do not. In Valpo, we do. So that's something big that we're going to be, like I said, we're going to be hopefully opening that here in the next couple weeks here, working with different vendors, getting the equipment in. Didn't want to delay opening the restaurant because of it, but it has been slow getting the technology and the equipment in after being ordered and scheduling install. But no, it's The only thing we added was temporarily we did curbside.
Yeah.
And that right there just showed me how big of a nightmare it is to bring on something and do something you're not used to.
Right, just walking out the door with the bags.
Exactly, but you have to have someone hawking your parking lot.
Right.
Making sure that, you know, when Nick pulls up that we know Nick's there and get his order ready. But then you have the struggle of, well, what happens if the two curbside spots were full? Okay, well, I don't have a curbside spot for a black, you know, a black SUV.
Right.
I have it for a white sedan and my curbside spot, but there's this white sedan over there. I can't see the license, you know, so it was right. a headache. It was just taking food out
in the bag. You already had it done.
Exactly.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep.
We got a caller?
Yeah, Brianna's with us from Crown Point.
Hi, Brianna.
Hi, Brianna.
Hi.
So what are you up to?
I was just asking about, like, if you had gluten-free hot dogs or what kind of gluten-free buns you might have.
So we do not have any gluten-free buns. What we typically do for our gluten-free customers is everything is made fresh to order, so we can customize it how you would like. So what we typically do is put them in to-go containers, serve with, you know, obviously forks and knives and that kind of stuff, and that's typically what a lot of our gluten-free customers do because the biggest problem is just keeping stock fresh, Brianna. If I was to bring in a gluten-free hot dog, I'm going to be throwing away a bun. I'm going to be throwing away a lot more than we make, so then my cost is going to be much higher, and then that's not fair to you. So it was kind of the happy medium that we landed on.
So, Brianna, do you like hot dogs?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do you like hot dogs?
Yes, I do.
You do. So Nick here from Dickie's Dogs out of Lowe in Valparaiso is giving me a gift card to mail to you.
Okay, thank you so much.
Bye. Thanks, Brianna. Have a nice day.
You too.
So what big changes did you make since they kind of relaxed things now? Did you put any sneeze guards up? Did you do any structural items changes?
Nothing really structural, just because when you walk into our low location, our ceiling, because there's a loft, our ceilings are like 25 feet.
Okay.
So to put something suspended from the ceiling, you know, that's a lot of weight being suspended for a long distance. All of our employees across the board are wearing masks.
Yeah.
It's very tough in the kitchen, and a lot of people don't really understand that. I mean, like this weekend, I think tomorrow the high's in the low to mid 90s, heat index over 100.
Right.
On top of it, you have that all your cooking equipment going. I mean, your grill that you're cooking over is 350 degrees.
I know.
Your Yiddos machine that's cooking the Yiddos.
We call that the dragon.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. You know.
That's crazy. And that just produces so much more heat.
Exactly. And you're already sweating. Now you got a mask on, so your breathing's a little compromised. But you know what?
Do you guys have air conditioning?
We do,
yeah,
but
it doesn't matter
in
the kitchen.
Yeah. No.
You have to be a very, very large kitchen.
Yes.
Very high ceilings.
Very high ceilings. You would have to have
a really good – you know, the only place I ever worked at that had good air conditioning in the kitchen was a hotel. When I worked in the hotels, the bigger hotels, because the kitchens were just massive.
Yeah, and
the Radisson and them. Oh, man, the kitchens are massive.
Wow. And in Lowell, we have the intake fans that, you know, blow fresh air in from the outside. But when it's 95 degrees outside, you're literally removing 100-degree steam and bringing in 95-degree air.
Right. Mm-hmm. And in the wintertime, you're freezing. We're putting winter caps on in the winter because it's blowing on your head the whole time. It's folks, crazy. If you want to know more about Dickie's Dogs and what they offer, 769-9577, 769-9577. Just call in. It's as easy as what Brianna did. That quick, that easy.
So you have a lot of things on your menu. Are hot dogs your top seller?
Yes. Yeah, hot dogs are my number one. Close first would be our beef sandwiches. One of my personal favorites. Don't get me wrong, I love hot dogs, and people always look at me sideways. They come in, oh, you know, what's your best thing here? And it's like, well, I have to say hot dogs because it's in my name. But you know, if you were asking me, my beef sandwich, my beef and sausage combo. I love our Phillies. Our Yiddos are very popular and good. Homemade tzatziki sauce, you know, things like that. Our Italian meatball sandwich is picking up some steam again. It's my grandmother's Sicilian red sauce recipe from overseas.
Use Lowe as like a commissary and you bring things over, or you pretty much make things in the unit?
Yeah, no, I make everything fresh at each location. The only time I use it as a commissary is with our special events.
Okay.
With our trailer. Obviously, this year we're not doing as many special events for the community as we are personal parties, but that's what we do. I mean, for those, that kind of stuff, we pre-cook our pre-make our sauces. Everything is cooked fresh on the trailer, same thing as the restaurant. So we get on site 30 to 45 minutes before the serving time so we can get everything cooked fresh, because that's my biggest thing. I do not want to be, you know, no knock to, you know, McDonald's and Burger King and those places that are pre-cooking and have them in steamers and stuff. We cook everything fresh. It's it has its pro. It has a lot of pros, but it also has its cons. Where someone comes in and orders, you know, a grilled chicken Yiddish platter, it's going to take 12 to 15 minutes because we're throwing four or five pieces of fresh chicken, marinated chicken, on the grill to cook right then and there.
Right.
You know, so.
But don't you realize or notice, like I notice, because we're the same.
That's
same
a big
situation.
Quality difference.
Yeah, it's a whole different, like, you know, our same thing. Somebody ordered a flatbread chicken from us. Which you've had, Sharon.
Oh, yeah.
We, you know, you throw it on grill.
Yum.
It takes some time. You know, everything takes time. But I, you know what I notice is eventually you have those people, they know that.
Correct.
They come back and, you know, and it's weird as being like cooks. You're just trained to go fast, you know, try to get out fast. And it's weird when I hear the girls at the carryout window, because they'll come. You know, if you call in, it'll be ready for you, okay? But when you come right up to the carryout window, that's when it's going to take a little bit of time. And it's always odd to hear them say, you know, 10 to 15 minutes. You know, I feel like that's a long time to wait.
You would think.
But no.
No.
Because the food's
like,
good.
It's like, you know, tonight when you guys are making chicken at home, when you throw it on the grill, start a timer. I mean, from the time you throw it on, flip it. We're using the same equipment, just on a larger scale. Instead of yours is probably a 24-inch at home, we're using a 48 or a 60. You know, it's the same equipment, but yes. And that's kind of the curve we're going through right now with Valparaiso.
Mm-hmm.
People think fast food, so the minute they hear fast food, they go to your national chains.
Right.
And they know that they can go to McDonald's from the time they get from the drive-thru window, pay, into the front, their food's ready.
Right.
And it's not the same, because my quarter-pound burger is cooked fresh.
Right.
It's seasoned, thrown on there fresh.
You grill the bun on the
exactly.
grill. You know, you do everything
exactly
fresh. So let's go back to the hot dog.
Yes, sir.
Do you use a natural casing, or what type of dog do you use?
Skinless.
You use a skinless dog. Now, what is it, 8-to-1s?
I do 6-to-1s.
Okay. So he's got a
– no, excuse me. Yes.
What does that mean?
I do an 8-to-1.
Okay. Go ahead. Tell him.
8 hot dogs per pound. So they're essentially an eighth of a pound, the hot dog. That's how they kind of measure those things, 8-to-1, 6-to-1s, 9-to-1s. Obviously, the lower the number, the bigger the hot dog, or Polish for that matter. Obviously, the higher the number, because that's how many you get per pound. So if you're looking at an 8-to-1, you're getting 8 hot dogs per pound. If you're looking at a 10-to-1, you're getting 10 hot dogs per pound.
And they're smaller if you
Correct.
Have a 10.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
So we do 8-to-1s, yes. Yeah. My Polishes are 6.
Yeah. See, I'm the kind of person, I don't know about you, Sharon, or you, Nick, I don't like a really fat, big hot dog.
No.
I like the 8-to-1s. It's like the perfect
yep.
size.
And it fits well in the bun with the condiments. When you go a 10-to-1,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
you know, the condiments get... The
you might as well... You know what? Yeah.
Exactly.
And then if you get a big hot dog, it's like eating a big chunk of bologna.
Yeah. yeah.
And usually, that's what they're giving you.
Yes.
You know, but when you're getting a Vienna,
yeah.
are you all beef?
Oh, 100%.
And what kind of bun do you use?
I use a Rosen poppy seed.
Poppy seed bun. Now, do you ever offer a plain bun? I know it's the only reason I'm saying this, I'm going to be out there with my health history. I got diverticulitis.
Yep.
So I stay away from the poppy seed buns.
And completely understand it, but kind of again, like we were alluding to with Brianna, it's from a stock standpoint, you're going to be throwing out much more than you're actually using. So for customers that cannot eat buns, we have French rolls.
Right.
You know, we can easily do on French rolls. Some people actually ask us to put it on a brioche hamburger bun, which we've done before.
Oh, see, I would ask for that. That's what I would do.
Yep.
Who do we got there?
Yeah, Ben's with us from Crown Point.
How we doing, Ben?
Pretty good. How about you?
Doing wonderful. Thanks for calling in today.
What question you have for Nick here?
I was just wondering, are you guys hot dogs all beef?
Yes, they are.
Yep.
Oh,
we actually, yeah, when you were just calling in, we were just talking about that. Yeah, that's the only thing we serve. We use Vienna beef, all beef hot dogs, and Vienna beef, all beef Polishes, and corn dogs as well. So.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, Ben, what you like hot dogs?
Yeah.
What do you like on your hot dog?
Usually I just get pickle on it.
Pickle, that's it?
Yeah.
No mustard. No mustard.
It's better than saying ketchup.
Oh, see, I like ketchup. I'm
going to
tell you.
So do I.
Yeah.
So, Ben, Nick from Dickie's Dogs, he's got a unit in Lowe. If you're down in Lowe, he's got a unit in Valparaiso right on 2 and US 30. He's going to send you a gift card out to go try his place, Dickie's Dogs.
Thanks,
Ben. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Yep.
Folks, it's that easy. 769-9577, 769-9577. Give us a call, and Nick from Dickie's Dogs will send you out a gift card to Dickie's Dogs. And you know what? Thanks for joining us here on 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio. You're listening to Let's Eat. I'm Chef Nick, Nick Leopis, and we have Sharon Jackson here running the boards and making sure we're all in line.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So your buns, are you steaming them?
Yes.
So you do the old-fashioned where the hot dogs are in a boiling water bath?
Yep.
Okay, and then you bring in – oh, I love those.
Yep. So
I love when the buns squish around.
Steam table. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So I use a steam table because there's other things I keep in there as well, you know, like our cheese sauce and stuff to keep that warm so there's no delay with that. But, yeah, that's –
Do you do the old-fashioned – see, I used to work for a place called the Tube Works, and it was in this place called the Century Mall, which was in Maryville, and all we sold was hot dogs.
Okay.
So I did hot dogs for a whole year. That's all I did was hot dogs. So when you get the packs of Rosen, do you just, like, slit the top and throw the box in?
Yeah, see, everyone does it. Slit it, put it in there, and close the lid,
That's what my parents did.
Yep. Did they?
Yeah, same thing.
And we usually have a steam table. So ours in Lowell's a 3-bay, out in Valpo's a 4-bay, just, you know, different areas, bigger kitchens. But we usually have one of the tables are filled up with the current ones we're using, so it's on a lower temp, so the bottoms don't get hard or they don't get, like, mushy or soggy.
Yeah, I hate that. Or brown.
Yeah. So, and then we have the backup that is completely loaded to the gills, and we have that cranked higher to get them steamed. And once they get to the right feel, for lack of a better term, white steamness, we then move them over to the other table that we use to make all of our dogs with.
How do you prevent them from getting soggy or hard?
You got to monitor the moisture. They get hard because they're sitting on the bottom. Uh-huh. Those are usually the ones on the bottom that are touching the metal, so it's literally just putting it on a hot plate for a couple minutes, and it just gets hard.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to – it's exactly what it is. You just got to turn over quick enough.
Yeah, it's all – I guess it's inventory. It's like – you can't put too many in because it can burn you in the long run.
You got to know your business. You got to know, okay, this is my lunchtime. Let me get 10 packs in there. Okay, we're that lull between lunch and dinner. Only put 2 or 3 packs in there.
And then you got to be so disciplined that when you see the hot dog that looks like that, you got to toss it.
Yeah.
I tell
my employees, if it's something that you will not eat, do not serve it to a customer.
Okay.
So what's your signature dog?
Chicago.
And what is on a Chicago dog?
We do people always ask for the cucumber, but we do not. We do mustard, diced onions, relish, tomato, pickles, sport pepper with a dash of celery salt.
Now, since this COVID, you know, restaurants have been not putting out ketchup bottles and stuff like that.
Yes.
Now, how are you guys handling all
we
that?
We have that all in individual packets behind the counter.
Okay,
so,
that's what we're doing too.
Yep, so customers come up and ask, you know, they want some ketchup or mustard, we hand it to them that way. Or, you know, if it's a side of something that's not in packets, we just let the kitchen know, and they just fill one of our 3-ounce cups up with it.
Hmm. Now, the Polish is a Vienna Polish?
Yes, sir.
And you sell a lot of Polishes?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, because we do ours a little differently. Ours aren't just kind of cooked and then topped. When ours are halfway cooked, we actually throw it in a third pan, line the bottom of the third pan with grilled onions, line Polishes, fill the top with grilled onions. So actually, when you get ours, because you know how it is with those, they absorb the juices they're in. So when it's sitting in a bath of grilled onions all day, it absorbs those juices and adds a lot of flavor. So
I've seen them deep fried.
Wow.
We get a lot of requests for that.
I think that's called a Maxwell Street.
A deep fried Polish?
Yeah, it's deep fried.
See, I serve mine Maxwell style, which is mustard, grilled onions, and sport peppers.
Okay.
But we do not deep fry ours. Just
That's gross.
Yeah. but if people request it, I got no problem throwing in the deep fryer. Some people also ask us, you know, can you make me a fresh one that's not in the onions? I don't like the taste of onions.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they're sitting in a bath of onions for, you know, a decent amount of time staying warm. And
so you do roast beefs?
Italian beefs, yeah.
Italian beefs.
Yep.
How are those made? I mean,
we have our au jus. Our au jus always stays hot, and so our meat doesn't overcook. What we do is we have our sliced roast beef in a container in the refrigerator, and we put the beef in the hot au jus.
Right.
For, you know, again, inventory.
If it's hot, it's
exactly.
Yeah,
from an inventory standpoint, depending on how busy we are, it depends on how much we fill in there. And you leave it in there, get some flavor, but it doesn't overcook or get too spicy or something like that. And that's what we do with the meatballs. We throw the meatballs in boiling au jus.
Yeah.
Add that flavor. I don't like putting it in water.
That's
really
terrible.
It kills the flavor.
Well, with the beef, I mean, did you make the whole sides of beef yourself with the spices and, You know, my parents used to do that. They'd have this big, huge piece of beef, and they would, you know, make it themselves.
Our roast beef is unseasoned. It's just straight sliced roast beef. Our au jus has a lot of garlic flavoring, different seasonings and such in there that adds in all that flavor.
Yum.
So how many people, first of all, you need to dial in 769-9577, 769-9577. You know what? And join the conversation with Dickie's Dogs from Valparaiso and Lowell.
Yeah, what he said. You are listening to Let's Eat with Chef Nick. Thanks for listening. Give Chef Nick a call at 219-769-9577 to take part in the conversation or ask a question, and you could win a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery in Winfield, or you could win a prize from one of his guests. 219-769-9577. That'll get you right to Chef Nick at Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Thanks for coming back to us here on Lakeshore Public Radio. It's Let's Eat with Chef Nick. That's me and Sharon Jackson. And our guest today, which took some time out of a busy, you know, this is Friday. It's our busy time.
Sure.
Is Nick from Dickie's Dogs. He's got a unit in Lowe. He's got one in Valparaiso on US 30 and Route 2. You know, and I didn't ask you this. What is your last name?
Filetti.
Filetti. You're Italian.
75% Italian, 25% Greek. So my grandmother.
Oh, Yasu.
Yes, yes, sir. My mom is 50-50. My grandmother on my mom's side was Italian. My grandfather was 100% Greek. And then my father is 100% Italian.
Well, I think so. That's a good mixture.
Yeah, it is.
It's a crazy mixture. Perfect for a restaurant. That's my wife. That's my wife.
Yeah. You guys can make food and build an aqueduct. I mean, that's great.
Yeah. You got it all.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit more. We were talking about the beef. Oh, folks, call in. Like I said, we only got about 15 minutes left and get a gift card. The roast beef. Now, do people act like they're real Chicagoans and say, hey, dip that beef sandwich?
Oh yeah. We have a couple customers that they walk in, and you know, you get to know your customers after a while, especially in Lowell. You know, Valpo, we don't know them as well yet. We're getting there. But there's a couple customers that walk in where the guy says, I need to eat my beef sandwich with a fork and knife. Sir, say no more. I got you. You know, but there's also people that don't.
Oh, I've heard people say dry.
Oh yeah. We get that a lot. And actually people there, you have your both extremes. You have the people that want it to be like meat. You can't even pick it up. You have to eat it with a fork and knife.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it,
but then
wet.
You have people that don't understand that or don't prefer that. And the little bit, the smallest amount of juice in there to make that button a little soft, they think it's soggy and disgusting. And you know, it's to eat their
own.
That's how they like it.
Well, you know, Nick, you're on that. Low is sort of like being in Winfield. You have kind of a, I don't want to say captured, but you have kind of a captured audience.
For sure.
You're kind of on an island. It takes 15 minutes, 20 minutes to go to one place or other. And Lowe is even farther. You're kind of on an island.
Yep.
But in Valpo, it's not like that.
No, it is not.
Valpo, you got a lot of transients.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? So you got that traffic. Mm-hmm. Don't you feel that's going to be a little bit more difficult to rein it in or see what's going on?
It has its challenges, yes. I like to look at the glasses always half full. So I like to look at it as a bigger audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're only going to be able to do so much business in Lowell because, like you said, it's a much smaller community. Love the community we're in. My wife and I picked Lowell as a community for us to raise our family in. We mm-hmm. love it down there. It's great. Valparaiso is much larger. You got the university there. You have, I think, 3 or 4 times the amount of people out in Valparaiso. So, yes, it comes with its own challenges. I like to look at it as good opportunity, more customers, more families, more mouths to feed, more people to please, you know, to bring us, because Valparaiso is much further from, mm-hmm. you know, Chicago.
Right.
I think, you know, I've never really actually mapped it out thinking about it, but down in Lowell, you got more people that are transplants from Illinois that are more accustomed to your food, where out in Valparaiso, you have a lot more people that might not know mm-hmm. about it. You know, you still have your fair share of people. I mean, there's still a lot of people that come in that they travel. They work in the city of Chicago. They jump on 30, 65, Skyway all the way into the city every day, you know, but it's different out there, and it's always going to be a learning curve for me, and we take it a day at a time.
So let's get back to your menu.
Yes, sir.
You got the roast beef.
Yep.
And what else you got in the beef area?
Philly cheesesteak, our burgers, obviously. Meatballs, you know, along those lines. Those are going to be your main.
Is it a duplicate menu of low?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so it's exactly duplicate.
Yes and no. There are some things that have been added to the Lowell menu over time that we ran as specials that people really, really liked that haven't been brought out to Valparaiso yet. You know, some things coming down the line for Valpo is going to be our garlic cheese curds, pretzel bites, buffalo chicken sandwiches, different variations of things. Uh-huh. We have a small barbecue menu in Lowell. The community loves it. There used to be a barbecue restaurant in there that's no longer there that was – very busy, and we had access to a really good smoker. The gentleman I had in here last time with me, Billy, he's got a lot of experience behind the smoker, so we have a small barbecue menu, do ribs on the weekends, some things during the week.
Is that, like, new? I mean, you didn't introduce that when you first opened, did you?
No, that didn't come until after Labor Day of last year, so that was kind of one of those things where, hey, let's give it a shot, and the community loved it.
So at the beginning of the conversation, when you were talking about opening the Valpo location and you were saying something about revenue generating investments that you could learn from that you wouldn't do again, what are some examples of revenue generating investments? Is that like where you're investing in the product?
No, it was more in the appeal, the cosmetic side of things. Like I was saying, like our counters, I love our counters in Lowell. We went out and we got that rustic wood tile, you know, that looks like the barn wood. Right. We put that all up where it's beautiful, but that's not something that's going to generate any money.
Right.
Exactly. So instead we do, you know, on Valpo, we have the faux wood that looks like barn wood, you know, same touch, same feel, same look. Just a different product.
So what kind of things do generate money?
Cooking equipment.
Okay.
Having better equipment, having more efficient equipment.
Or something different. Like I just brought in a panini machine.
Exactly.
So I'm starting paninis. I've been starting paninis. And we don't even have it on our menu. It's all word of mouth.
Correct.
Facebook.
Yep.
So that panini machine is an investment that I feel like is going to make me money.
Okay. My big thing was our smoker. It was never something I thought that I would ever get into. But we tried it by doing it. I have a personal smoker at home, so we started by using that, and we saw people were loving it. And you know, my little personal smoker for a family of three ain't going to keep up with a restaurant. So we went out and we invested in a smoker. Investing in people, you know, that's the biggest thing. Is you know, we treat our people, our employees are our family. You know, they always have been, they always will be. You know.
You know,
without them, I wouldn't be here. Let's put it that way.
It's very hard to run without people, believe me. You guys deal with wraps, too?
Yes.
And what kind of wraps do you have?
So all of our salads are made into wraps. So we have our Greek wrap,
a
Yiddish wrap, steak wrap, chicken wrap, veggie wrap.
So you can get it as a salad bowl?
Correct.
Or a wrap?
Yep.
That's a very good way of doing it.
Yeah, very nice.
Wraps are very good business.
They are. They're great business because people wouldn't think coming to a Chicago-style grill and sandwich shop and hot dog stand, you're going to have a healthy option. You know, like our grilled chicken, people don't understand this, but I buy the free-range, non-antibiotic, non-hormone, healthy chicken, which to the everyday person doesn't matter, but someone like my neighbor who is very big in the weightlifting world and being healthy and all that other stuff, when she found out that it wasn't processed chicken that was injected with water, she orders it all the time.
Right.
You know, so it's little things like that, back to your question about investment, investing in the product to have a better quality product to serve to our consumers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Sides. You got French fries?
Yep,
you do your own? Or are you buying frozen?
No, I didn't.
That's fine. What other sides do you offer? I don't do mine.
I looked at doing it, but.
What, like cutting your own?
Yeah, fresh cut, but then you got to.
You got to blanch them.
Yeah,
then you got to bring them up. And you got to let them sit, and then you fry them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's impressive.
You could buy pre-blanched ones, but for us, fries come with all of our sandwiches.
Right. So you're going through them.
So I'm going through them a ton. So if I'm buying the fresh cut, now I got to charge a higher price.
Because you got to have some
really
guy back there going,
yep.
Oh, right. That's right.
You can't warrant.
What other sides you got?
Your typical appetizers. We have onion rings, mac and cheese bites, corn nuggets, mozzarella sticks, breaded mushrooms, fried pickles, garlic cheese curds.
So in Valpo, do you see... Because you have the college there, and you have a lot of transients going through there, going to Michigan and going to Chicago. Do you see a difference in their ordering pattern and what they get?
Oh, yes.
What do you see different?
I actually see Polishes were something that it took a while to take off in Lowell. people would get them, but they were getting them with just ketchup or with just mustard. They, you know, they were treating it more like a brat. But out in Valpo, you have a lot more people because, like you said, they're coming down. Instead of staying on 80, 94 and sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic for 6 hours, they jump off 30 and they go as far east as they can go before they have to cut north into Michigan. And we have a lot of people stop off. And you can tell the difference by just the way they order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me get a Maxwell. You know, when someone comes in and orders a Maxwell, I know they want a Polish.
Right.
You know, where other people come in, you know, on your daily, you know, Tuesday afternoon for lunch, it's like, oh, what's a Maxwell Polish?
Yeah.
You know, so yes, you see some of that stuff.
How about wraps? Do you feel like wraps go better in Valpo than they do in
Rome? Yes. I wouldn't say a healthier community, but a more
in tune to
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's because all the restaurants are out there too.
Exactly.
It's like yeah. That's how they're geared out there. They look at more healthier, conscious.
Yep, and we're going to be adding veggie dogs in the menu for that reason. We have a lot of requests for that.
Oh, one of my waitresses asked me when I said I was going there. She goes, "They got veggie dogs?" I said, "I don't know if they got veggie dogs."
Yeah, we're going to be getting that. But then, the wraps, you know, and having different options for the health conscious folk.
Does Vienna have veggie dogs?
No, you got to find a source for that.
I source that through my food.
So now all the food you have is pretty savory. It's all got some flavor to it.
Oh yeah.
So what dessert do you have to clear that palate?
Ice cream. Hershey's ice cream.
Oh, you got the Hershey's. That's right. Hershey's, I remember that.
Yep. We threw around the idea about doing some cobblers or some pies and that kind of stuff, but then it just gets into – it's harder to do that kind of stuff in Lowell because of my footprint. My kitchen is very, very small there.
Mm-hmm.
It's tight working space. Now, in Valpo, we got a little more room to do some things. We've talked about potentially renting space in Lowell to be kind of a commercial commissary, like you were talking about, to cook some of that stuff. Obviously, all down the line as things start to open up a little more, but it's ice cream, milkshakes, and that's the
– Sundays?
No.
You offered – you're not an ice cream place, but you offer – you have you have Sundays? You do Sundays?
So we have an 8-bay dipping cabinet.
So it's all cones.
We just kind of rotate. Cones and cups. We just kind of rotate for customers, and they love it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, hand-blended on site. So we're, you know, any of your flavors you see in the table can be turned into a milkshake, and that's one of our biggest
things. Folks, we got about 8 minutes left, 769-9577. We're sitting down with Nick. He's from Dickie's Dogs. You would think it would be called Nicky's Dogs, but Dickie's Dogs sounds better.
Yep.
And he's from Lowe. And he's also got a unit in Valparaiso on US 30 and Route 2.
So in terms of hand blended, you got a big blender that, you know, like a big steel commercial.
Like the spinner. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, my parents had that too.
So you alluded to this. You ever go to Dairy Queen and see how they look in there at the end of the night? It's like, gosh, ice cream everywhere.
Yeah.
Food truck. You alluded you had a food truck.
We have an 18-foot mobile concession trailer. Yes, it's fully branded. It was collecting a lot of dust until about early June. Once Governor Holcomb started opening up the reins and everything, we've seen a big spike. My wife is the one that spearheads that, and God love her, because that phone, we're very blessed right now. I think between now and mid-August, we do not have any weekend spots available.
Good for you.
That's very
great.
Good.
We're trying to do two a day, so we try to have like an afternoon slot and an evening slot.
So these are booked?
Yeah.
What's the farthest you travel for a gig?
My brother-in-law lives in Frankfort, Illinois, and we were supposed to be doing their block party until it got canceled.
And how do you get the word out on that?
Facebook.
Oh, all of them. Really?
So last summer it was a lot slower. Then again, last summer I was at every big event in the area we got into to continue to get that word out. You know, but even this morning I got a text message. One of our good customers in Lowell, we did her granddaughter's party a few weeks ago, and one of their guest at the event messaged me this morning, "Hey, had your food truck at so-and-so's party. Great idea. Love to have you out. Are you available this day or this day?" You know, so
you guys, when you price that out, is it by the person?
Yeah, we do it per person, and we usually account for two food items per person. So.
And so they just pick, they can go to your menu and say, we want, and that is great. Because a lot of the food trucks, you know, it's like just that item or two
the
items.
The only thing I cannot do on my trucks are fried items.
Fried items.
I stayed away from fryers because it's a nightmare. If you're going to Nick's house for a party, you got to wait an hour and a half, 2 hours for those fryers to cool down before you can leave.
Right.
You know, so that really
you can't drive around with them.
Yep. It creates creates a logistical nightmare for that kind of stuff. So that's the only thing I can't do. But yeah, we tell customers we have a price per item. We have a price for the truck to show up and overhead and that kind of stuff. And it's just, you know, you call me and say, "Hey, I got 50 people. These are the food items. what's the price, and out the door.
So you do any other type of catering, like on-prem?
We do have a full catering menu as well, yeah, and that's actually picked up a lot of steam because the trailer's booked. Last Saturday was a crazy day. We had three parties, started early in the afternoon, and one after another after another. And then we did have a couple people that reached out and wanted that date as well and ended up doing catering. So we have your traditional Masacholi's, fried chicken, chicken parmesan.
So you have you have like a hidden menu then?
Yeah.
So in your hidden menu, you might have fried chicken and...
Yep.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. I mean, so somebody can probably come up and say, I want a pan of macaroni and cheese. You can kind of deal with
take
that.
Take care of it. Yeah, all that can be found on our website, www.dickiesdogs.com, and it's all on there. But we're also, being that mom and pop shop, like you and I were talking about earlier, is the answer is very rarely going to be no.
Right.
Today we're doing an event, and someone asked for Mexican-style street corn. Never done it before.
Yeah.
You know, but we got some recipes between all of the big cooks I have between both restaurants. And, you know, one of the Hispanic gentlemen gave me his grandmother's recipe. And, you know, it's something we could do. So the answer is never no. Don't, you know, just because it might not be on there doesn't mean we can't do it.
My
parents
were the same way. They used to jump through hoops and try to, you know, accommodate, cater to.
That's how I am. I'm doing a huge wedding tomorrow. You think I want to drive and set it up in 106 degree weather tomorrow? No. But I got to do it.
I'm lucky. My two weddings are in October, so it's going to be much better weather.
This one's on the lake in the Four Seasons. Really, I think they came from Illinois because of the restrictions in Illinois, and then they just came up.
Okay.
We've had a lot of requests for backyard weddings this year because of everything, you know.
Okay, we're down to the last few minutes. It went by really fast. I sound like I'm out of breath here.
Yeah.
Any future plans?
Not right now. Kind of getting Dickie's Valpo launched, get that kind of copacetic. Low was finally to a point where it was smoothing out. Things were good. Repeat business. You know, you kind of knew. You were at that point where you knew what to expect. So now we got Valpo ramping up. Biggest thing we'd start to look at doing is expanding our special events and catering offerings. We've talked about trying to get a truck opposed to a trailer, because with a trailer, there's one gentleman, either Billy, who was here last time, or myself, have to pull that trailer because it's a pain. Pulling an 18, it's 18 foot box, 25 foot to the tongue, so it's a big trailer to be hauling around. So I'd look at getting a truck, something along those lines, and I'm always ears. You know, if someone's got, we dabbled in the pizza business for a short time, partnership didn't really work out, so we exited that. But I'm all ears.
How did Dickie's get its name?
My daughter,
okay.
My little one. We were sitting throwing around names one day. And my brother-in-law, on a Saturday night at a family party, after a few cocktails, he always calls me Dickie.
Oh.
And he always joked that my niece and nephew was going to call me Uncle Dickie. And one day we were talking with my little one, and she calls herself the Little Boss. And we threw out the idea of Dickie's Dogs, and I could have thrown out the greatest name in the world, but it wasn't going to top Dickie's Dogs.
So real quick, we're almost done with the show here. Hours of operation, the same at both places?
Yes, sir. Okay. 11 to 9. Monday through Saturday, 12 to 8 on Sunday. So both locations, same operation, same phone number.
Oh, really?
219-300-3434.
How does that work?
You got a prompt. You call in, and the first thing you're going to hear is my beautiful voice, and it's going to be asked for the low location or the Valparaiso location. And depending on what number you press, it routes it to that location.
That's great.
Nice.
Well, Nick, I want to thank you for coming in.
I appreciate
having me. We're both going to have a busy weekend here.
Yes, sir.
And congratulations on your new place.
Thank you. I wish you the best.
I've went by a few times, and it looks great. The sign looks great.
Thank you.
It looks real good.
Well, good luck this weekend.
You too. Yeah. Stay out of the heat, huh?
Yeah, we'll try.
So we want to thank Nick from Dickie's Dogs out of Valparaiso, and he's got the unit down in Lowe, the original. I want to thank the callers for calling in. We always enjoy those, and always call in the future. Next week, we got the Grindhouse Cafe. And I want to thank Sharon Jackson for helping me out and running the boards and asking good questions.
My pleasure.
So, folks, try to stay cool and have a great weekend. And yasu!